your book.
Alright. Well, it's on chapter 5 real quick. Go ahead.
I'm going to ask y'all something. I like this class because it's a study class. We ain't got to get deep off in the spirit in this class. But it's teaching us how to get into that word and really see what's being said. Written by the book. So, real quick, who wants to go ahead and quote Joshua 1:8 from me real quick? We need it anytime we come to class. Here we are in ministry school, so I'm just gonna let y'all listen to him and say he wanna do it first. I just got a hand up first, go for it. I'm looking at the book, I ain't looking at you. I'm reading the book and I want it word for word. Let's go. Yep. For me now, I'm almost looking at the scripture. We're looking by the book now. But I'm almost looking at the scripture and saying, that's the method that thou mayest observe. So observing is something different than just reading it. I'm just looking at it. Observation, I like the word observe, and it says, they got a bunch of different scientific stuff, but I like this one. It says, to watch people, especially with attention to details or behavior for the purpose of arriving at a judgment. Strip down and just pick out the ones that I'm the ones that I like, the ones that apply to what we're trying to talk about. It says, to come to realize, I know, especially through consideration of noted facts. And so, I was reading this book, man, and I just like this book. I just really enjoy this book. And we get over to a little bit of it, hopefully, tonight. But he starts talking about reading and observation being two different things. But you got to read good in order to observe good. It's a different thing. A lot of times you think that you're reading something, you're observing. How many times you read something and you don't know what you read? Most of the time. I was in school and I used to be like, they said read chapter 2. I'm trying to go play a video game and do something else. So I just going to read chapter 2 so I can get back to class and say that I read. And we have tendency, listen, and we all do, we have tendency to do that with God. But God knows y'all. Y'all know God knows, right? You know, God knows the ins and outs. Know if you know something, if you don't know anything. He knows if you approach it with the intent to learn or you approach it with the intent just to say you did it. You know, I used to be that when I was younger. My dad said, boy, you need to read the word more. Read the chapter. He gives a chapter to read. And I would go ahead. I would get up in the morning and pray and read just so I could say, because I knew he was going to come later on today and ask me, you put your spent time with the Lord this morning? Did you read the Bible? So, you know, I used to do it so I can have an answer. So I could, yeah, I read it. You know what I mean? I told them, you know, we can do it. No, but it's not about that. Because the approach, what are you doing it for? What are you going there for? What is the purpose? To look at it for the purpose of coming to a judgment. What's the purpose of your study? So when you study the word, what are you doing it for? You know, y'all heard me say before, you can't just do it because you want a message. Or because you want to be a prolific preacher. That ain't nothing to do with that. See, this is my thing. Dismantle. You know what I mean to dismantle something? What do I mean? Take a point, break it down. Break down. Then the Bible talks about to tear down and to root up. And then to plant and to build. To tear down, to root up, then to plant and to build. To tear down, to root up, then to plant and to build. Tear down, say it again, root up, then to plant and to build. And see, I think preacher-wise, I'm talking about the class, minister-wise, there's a lot of things that we've learned about church and about preaching and about the word of God that we got to break down and root up in order to plant and to build the way God wanted to originally be. There's a lot of preachers out there saying a lot of stuff. A lot of people preaching on their own personal vendettas. They're preaching because they're mad. A lot of times you're preaching about something they're dealing with, but they're talking to everybody else about it. There's a lot of different reasons, and a lot of times we take that stuff on, and we think that that's the way to preach. But in order, and it's not even about a way to preach, in order to really get what God wants us to get out of His Word, we've got to break it down and get to the bare minimum that I'm just doing it because I love God. That's it. The last part of that, then I'll make all the apostles have good success. Praise the Lord for that. But if that wasn't in there, I still got to observe to do. I got to break it down. I was sitting there earlier, and I don't like to be deep, so I don't try to be like I was off in the spirit, no. I was sitting there, and I was falling asleep. So tired, sitting on my little book on the back, and I was at the work, and I was like, reading my book, I'm falling asleep, and I guess it's in my sleep, and I heard, you make sure that that word working in you first. Even you make sure that that word is working in you first. All right? Because I can't help somebody today. You know, I can't help nobody next if I ain't been helped first. And you got to make sure that when we approach this word, you're not approaching this word as a minister. You're approaching it as a person. You're approaching it as a person that loves God. Because if you approach it as a minister, then you're looking for ministry. Come on, y'all. If you approach it as a preacher, then you're looking for something to preach. But if you ever, you'll find something. In the Bible, you'll find something to preach. But is that what God's saying? Is that, I don't give you a message after message. I didn't come in here and give you a lukewarm. You want a lukewarm? I come in and give you a 20 lukewarm. I can give you scripture after scripture. We quote scripture all day long and come up with little messages. But what is God saying at that time? Well, I ain't not even about that time and not even about that service. What is God trying to work in me? You know, when the Word of God, we said it before, but when the Word of God works in us first, it comes out with a different anointing. This is why the apostle is so strong, because ain't nothing he's telling y'all he ain't doing. Ain't no time of study he's telling y'all the truth to do that he ain't done already. So now, when that Word comes forth, he's so anointed. When he's so anointed, because it's the truth. That Word has become truth to him. It's not, I mean, he's not doing it to get a message to y'all. Your motivation can never be the people. Why is this? Because the people are going to make you mad. Well, even in relationship with people, marriages, with sisters, your relationship with the person got to be built on something deeper than your feelings about each other. It's got to be built on a love for God and what God has you there for. That's it. Because that's the only thing the Bible says, love never fails and it will never change. This is the only thing that we got that's never going to waver. And so now, you cannot do it. You cannot approach this word, which is a love story. The way I like the way you say in the book, you read it like it's a love story to you. You cannot approach this love story from God to us without love and kissing being involved. You cannot approach it that way, because if you approach it that way, you're approaching anything else other than love and become selfish. Y'all with me for a second? It becomes selfish, and then we approach it properly so we don't receive it properly. You know, you ever heard somebody say, don't come at me wrong. Don't come at me sideways, right? Right. What does that mean? Don't come at me, don't call me out my name. Don't come, because you come at me like that, I'm coming back at you like I want to. What you got is what you got is how you came at me. Be by the sea, he's like, oh, God is my mouth. You said it's about the reason. Right. Don't come at me sideways. So now, how you approach me, how I approach you. This is why being polite is important. This is why being kind and being my parents taught me manners. Yes, ma'am, no ma'am. You know, thank you, welcome, you're welcome. We're talking that stuff. And so by the approach, determines what you'll get out of somebody, all right? So now with this word of God, your approach or your intention for your approach will determine what you get out of the word. If you're just approaching the word for a message, it's all you're going to get. All you're going to get is that one little 30-minute message, and that's it. But I don't need that. I need God to tell me something in this word that's going to change my life. And then when it changes my life, I can be a witness. You can witness something you've never seen before. You know, don't go around. I told somebody, we had a meeting last night with some of people I work with, and I said, you know, we do, you know, it's real easy to get in this word and you get a revelation real quick. And what's the first thing you want to do with it? Huh? Go throw it on the ground. Go throw it on. The first thing you want to do is tweet. We on the internet, you want to tweet, put it on Instagram, and you tweet. I told my, you know, one of the boys said he had something to say. I said, no, you can't talk right now, I'm talking.
You know what?
You got a revelation? I said, don't tweet it either. Don't take that revelation, don't go to Twitter again. I don't bother the Holy Spirit again to you, but go take it and go to your car and eat it. Don't sit down before you start passing out all this bread. It ain't even cooked yet. You pass out all this uncooked bread. We get it, and we cook it early in the hour to cook it, and for it to be what it's supposed to be, we got to pass it out prematurely. But it's only because of our approach. Y'all get me? It's only because of our approach. So it's how we approach this word. And so we approach it with love's intent in mind, and it just nothing else. I just approach this word for nothing else. Even if you ain't telling me that whatsoever I do falls in, right? Whatsoever I do for pastor, even if God wasn't in there, I'm still going to delight myself in you. I'm still going to delight myself in this law. Now, not many people can say that. And so not many people can do that. Not many people, look, there ain't a lot of people get out there and whistling, you do some prophecy. We all working to get behind you. Apparently, come on, come on, come on. Ain't a lot of people over there. Why ain't got a lot of people over there? Because a lot of people don't approach without the end part in mind. And so you look at that tree, you get so caught up on being like a tree and bearing fruit, right? And whatever you do, apostle, thank God for that. But you get so caught up with that, you miss the fact that your delight has got to be in this law. And so because your delight is there, you meditate day and night, and you shall be like a tree. But you got to approach just off some love stuff. This has got to be a love approach. However you approach, the kind of gift you're going to get. You put it down. It ain't no deep, it don't sound like no long dissertation, but it's a very specific statement towards the Word of God. However you approach determines how you, if you just sat down, because you know you got to preach on Wednesday, and so you sat down on Tuesday evening, to get a message, that's exactly what you're going to get, nothing more, nothing less. What message you meet, message it to you. That's love, yeah. And it's the beginning of the church, I couldn't get run over. All that, but you both get back. It's what you got to give out of love. I'll preach that in the Bible. That whole chapter right before Luke 6 said that we love that. But the whole chapter talking about love. And he's talking about the same other speaking stuff. He's talking about love. So now when you give, now it's a principle. It's a principle. But when you give, you got to give out of love. So now when you give your time, when you give yourself to this word, the Bible talks about giving yourself over to the word, right? When you give yourself this word, it's got to be done in love in order for the good measure to put down straight together. Are y'all with me? So now our approach. So now it's just, you know, I'm looking, the purpose of it. What am I studying this word for? I'm saying it over here, I'm going to break it down in your mind. You can't go, you got to approach as a son and a daughter first. You can't approach as Reverend such and such. Or Pastor such, or whatever your name is, you can't approach like that. Lord, would you really go to God and say, Lord, this, you know, hey God, this is Reverend Montrell. Don't come on my Reverend Montrell. Do you get what I'm saying? Hey Lord, we ain't thinking about that. God's trying to see where your heart at. If you can see where your heart at, he'll give you it all. The revelation will be mine, rivers of living water, the rivers of living water. It'll be like that if he'll see that it's just about him. So your study time is just about him. Now, with the opportunity, now, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm about to say next. Now, this is what I'm about to say. Listen how I say this next statement. Now, when the opportunity comes to you to minister, not you went to ask somebody to preach, or not you. So I don't know why. Where are these ambitious preachers at? Where did y'all get ambition from in the Bible? I'm going to look for someone. They told me. You were called. That means somebody took you from wherever you were doing what you were doing and brought you there. So now when the opportunity comes, well, I love this. I love ministry school. because I want to go out and be good ministers. If we can go out and be good ministers and understand what we're doing, then we can change things, all right? And we can change the face of the church, all right? When it comes, when opportunity comes, you have something to deliver, and the Holy Spirit has something to bring up out of you, because you've just been studying and you've been talking to him just for nothing. What if somebody loves you just because they can get something from you? Huh? You hear that? You're using me, right? Right? Wouldn't y'all be ready? Like, you're a user, you're a taker, right? You'd be ready for that, wouldn't you? Well, if I approach God like a taker. So when we approach him, I ask you for that right now. I'm just reading this word because I love you and I love your word. And if you ever said the word before and you didn't get no deep revelation? Come on, you ever sat down and said it? Well, I don't know. You're trying to get that word. You're only going to be revealed when the Holy Spirit reveals to you. The Bible says no man can receive anything except it be given from heaven. And it's here, so you do what you want to when you want to do it. I just want to be in place when he decides to give revelation. But you ever said it before? You didn't get nothing deep, right? Or you felt like you didn't get nothing deep, right? Even in that moment, I still got to go back and study tomorrow. Because who knows? Who knows? You know, the Bible's talking about no man knows the day nor the hour that he saw the man coming, right? That ain't what we think about the rapture, right? But you just don't know when he's going to come and give you that word. No man knows the day or the hour, but I just want to be in. Well, all right, what about the salvation? Because when the horn, the trumpet sound, and the sky crack, don't you want to be in place? Huh? Just tell us this thing. Don't you want to be in place? What's time to go to bed? Man, when Jesus comes back, I want to make sure I'm on the right side of the fish. Make sure I can make that journey, right? Same thing. Live in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So right now, as we live right now, pray after this man, as we live right now, we got to be on the heaven side of that word. So we got to be in place. So when he show up and he do decide to talk, we on the same page. I can understand what he's saying. Why? Because I've been studying this book already. I've been reading it already. I've been loving you already, whether I saw you or not. The same way he loves you. He didn't know if you was going to accept him or not. But we only love God because he. So we got to approach him the same way. Do y'all get me? The approach to the word has to be out of love for God and that alone. You will never get a supernatural, deep, theological, life-changing, world-changing revelation if you don't approach in love. You will get exactly what measure you meet, it's going to be measured into you. So if you go for personal gain, you're going to gain personal. It's a good post. Many times, and I love this, it's going to help me because I'm learning while I'm teaching, all right? So y'all just work with me, all right? I'm learning while I'm teaching. But the post, because it helps us understand sometimes why we read and don't let it pop off. Or nothing happened, or sometimes we read and it's because maybe our approach is wrong. Maybe we're approaching the wrong way. I remember when I used to play basketball, we used to teach them how to shoot the layups. Layups seemed like it'd be the easiest shot in the world. But boy, I see some people miss some layups, boy. Easiest shot in the world. Put it up on the backboard the right way, it goes in the hoop. There's a way to it. But they taught us that when you go for a right-handed layup, you have to jump off your left foot because of the same way that the motion is that makes it smoother. You can't jump up like that because it's awkward. You might still make the shot, but it still messes everything up. It messes up the flow. So even when you go left hand, you got to jump with your right, on your right foot and your left hand in the air. It showed how to do it. There was a certain way. There was a certain way to approach. There was a certain way to approach the shot in order to score. A certain way to do it. Yeah, we shoot them right-handed, right-foot layup, and we turn every now and then, right? And we get the bucket every now and then, the great combine get us in there and let the bucket back around the rim and drop in every now and then. But now, if I know how to shoot, I'm going to post right. I'm going to post the goal the way that it should be approached. If I'm going from the right, I'm going to jump off that left leg every time because I know that's the way it's supposed to be shot. I know the shot is better. So now my approach. Well, hey, he's so good. Well, it didn't work in their approach, though. You see the people that you watch them, you're watching them, you're watching them so good, and they don't miss no shots, and they miss no nail. It's because they've been working on their approach. creeping in that gym, working on that plate. They've been getting acquainted with that rim. And they've been acquainted with that ball. To the point that when they get in the court and get on the game, it's first nature to them because we've already been talking before we got to the gym. Me and his basketball, me and his room have already developed a relationship before the game got on. Preaching, huh? Before prime time, before all the prime time, you somebody, man, they're good. Look at them. They're talented. No. They might be talented, but talent is never enough. Never forget that. I read a book called Talent Is Never Enough. There was the hour that you see them playing that game and they doing whatever, the hour that you see that singer doing whatever, the hour that you see that preacher, the revelation popping up, pop, and you ain't never heard nothing. That hour, you put about 20 more hours, 30 more hours, this long worth of hours behind that to show you what was going on in practice. You really just don't know how they're living. This is really the time when the mic's on and the camera's on. That means that apostles, they've been around them in other instances other than, you know, church or you hear them at the pulpit ministering or whatever. If you ever been around them, you know, it is what hasn't been around. God's been around for that. It is what you do. Like, understand. It is what you do. Like, you come here. He come here right now. We can just be playing cards or, you know, whatever. Just talking. He can come here right now and sit down. And we may start talking about nothing that has nothing to do with the word, but eventually, you know, I was in here a week before Prosperity Bible, we was just at the church. Me and Dad was here, we were getting stuff together, getting the cameras together, working on some stuff. I had a couple of young fellas came in, and we just went up there and started talking about. The first thing he was telling was, hey, you need to fix this TV in the front, by the way, fix the TV. He comes there, fix the TV, he's out there, and he said, you know, and he started talking about scripture. And so, you know, we didn't sat there with, hold on. About an hour and a half. He then went off in the spirit and prophesied to us and told us some things that we need to know. Ministered to one of the young men about some stuff that I knew, but he didn't know. And the Holy Spirit ministered to the young man. That young man left crying, texting me, trying to get the audio, because I was tired with my phone. He's trying to get the audio, man. Send him. I want to tell him what he was saying. Send him. The young guy. And he caught that fire right quick. That's just what he is. He not doing that for no church service. 90%, a lot of preachers are doing stuff for prime time. This is the way it is. So now we see why they're falling. We see why stuff ain't happening. We see why people don't want to come to church. We see why different stuff happens because they're doing it for prime time. You cannot do it for prime time. Love must be the motivation. Dead and that alone. My love for God. What's the great commandment in the law? That you love the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, and everything. Right? And they say this is the first and great commandment. That's it. Be your love your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor yourself if you ain't got number one. There's no two without one. So I can't do that part. Minister, right? Right? What we do? We minister the word. Who we minister the word to? Who we minister the word to, though? When we come into service, right? Who we look the word to? So all we're going to do is ask the people. You're preaching the people, right? So I can't love my neighbor if I don't love the Lord my God. So that means I can't even deliver nothing to them if I ain't been delivered myself. You know, whenever you come to service, you know, the object is, and it'd be tough for me, but I do it. I'll be trying to focus the service. Sometimes somebody will say something to the service and I'll click. And the goal is, it's really the goal that the Holy Spirit tell you something. You know, even right now in this moment, I know I'm the speaker of the moment, but it's really not about what I'm saying. You know that, right? You gotta remember that when you preach it too. It's really not about what you're saying. Yeah, you want people to listen, but it's really not. I'm trying to get to the point we're gauging to where the Holy Spirit starts clicking on some of these words and start talking to you about you. I don't know what he got to talk to you about. I don't know what reason, how to read, but here's something he want to say to you. And so in the midst of this moment, the Holy Spirit should click and start telling you something. You know, that's every time. When you go to church, the Holy Spirit should click and tell you something, but the Holy Spirit should click and tell you something about yourself. He gave me that, I was in the last Friday, my older brother's preaching. He started preaching about something. He got the one little part. and I missed the whole next 5 minutes of the service, or the sermon. And it wasn't that I wasn't paying attention, but God just put me on something, and I had a flat bed. I was like, let me go back, I'm going to get it. Right, look at it, I'm going to remember it, I'm going to go back and get it, because I don't want to be rude, not be looking around in service, right? But the Holy Spirit, that's how it's supposed to be every time. So now, that's how it's supposed to be when you minister to people. Whatever the Lord did with you in your private time, he should do this in your public time. So that means, whatever he did with you, while you was communing with him, or you was meditating on his word in that fashion, it could happen to him when we were meditating on a wide-scale fashion. Cameras are cool, praise the Lord. Mics are cool, praise the Lord. Internet's cool, praise the Lord. This is God's way of getting his message out, right? Praise the Lord, but it's not about all that. It has nothing to do with any of that. Suit's cool, all the stuff, it's cool. It's cool, I love it, it's cool. It's cool, but you know what? It ain't got nothing to do with none of that. It's about the personal time that you're spending with God. What? Ask yourself, what is my approach? Did I post a word because I'm dealing with something right now, and so I'm trying to find a word on it? You know we do that. Find a word on it. Well, you should just be on the word. You know, you want to live long, you want to live healthy, you want to live prosperous, you want to be everything God wants you to be, just stay in that word. That word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. My son, I was cleansed through the word of God. The word of God is the key. This is talking about meditating the word day and night. Then everything you do, everything you're going to cause the way to prosper. Everything is in that word. So if you say in that word, then it'll, we think when it says, my son, I was cleansed through the word, we think it's keeping us from sin, huh? That's what we use to think for, right? We don't think about it, right? Yeah, and it does mean that. But cleansing the word can mean keep your body clean. Keep you healthy. Keep your money clean. Keep you sanctified. Keep your mind clean. Keep you sanctified. My son, thou art clean. Everything about you is cleansed through the word. So now that flow is like a constant. The river's a living water. It's a constant flow of water. Dirt cannot build up if the water's constantly flowing. You ever notice that? You see dirt sitting on top of the mud in a pond because there ain't no flow. Are you talking about sitting there? Because there ain't no flow. The whole time that'll move when you got a little rain and it ain't gonna move much. Ain't no flow. But you've never seen nothing sitting on top of the river. And the river's always moving and always pushing things downstream and always going and it's always watching. You see the river water be clear. Right. But the water be flowing. Right. The water be flowing. And then what the river also does, it moves. Because the speed and the current of the water picks up on that bank and starts molding. Look, it will mold around. They say when David picked up the rocks out the river, it gives a lot of people smooth rocks. Because the water has been running over. It smooths them out. And so, if I can speak in the current of that word, then a lot of stuff that I'm worried about, I ain't got to worry about. If I can stay in the current of that word, then a lot of things that I'm caught up in, I wouldn't get caught up in because that word is. It was, and constantly like that. You ever use a pressure washer before? Yeah. I had a pressure washer on my finger, and bubble my finger, all on the number of pressures, they had my finger on me, just water going. And ain't no time for nothing to cut on me. What you mean you depressed? I don't understand that. You depressed. No, because you ain't in the word. Because the word will not allow you to sit there long enough to get depressed. To sit down in your own feelings. Get your power up and get in that word. And let that word run. That word of woman. Let that word run. And let the aspect of your life. You got any build up? Huh? You got any place you got a build up? If you don't want a build up to be there, let that word run. In every aspect of your life. You can't pick which one you want to shoot off now. When you take a bath, you don't pick the washing hand, but you don't want to wash this one. Huh? You don't pick what you want to do, you wash the car, but you don't want to wash the front two rims and not the back one. You don't pick, the car ain't clean if you don't want to wash the whole thing. So that every aspect of your life got to be picked with the way. And it only can happen when you jump in the water. And you let that word keep going. Let that word keep going. Now, when that flow is there, when that flow is there, and if you stay in the water, you'll always be wet. That means you always have the dew of the anointing on you. You'll never have a dry, you ever had a dry word before? You ever had to pick a dry word and say, bed is a donut, right? You hit it, it's going to fall on the ground. Warmed over milk, right? It's lukewarm, warmed over. Just a dry word. When is it going to be over? But ain't nothing like that fresh, right? Ain't like that fresh. Word. My boy hit me up yesterday. He texted me randomly out of the bed and said, he said, man, we're always talking about, you know, people talking about, ladies, I'm y'all got that one for a second, but you ever, you know, talking sports, talking about somebody clutch? You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, he clutch. What that mean? He can hit the shot when it pounds, right? Right? I said, he clutch, I mean, when the pound of pressure come on, he won't miss, he home. He clutch. They call it clutch and not clutch, right? We always do that. He said, bro, he said, listen, he's talking, he's random. He said, listen, he's going to be honest with you. He said, I know you're talking about sports. He said, but man, when I think about clutch, he said, all I think about is apostle. He said, never miss a third. We don't never get no dried over. You ain't never come to school and got no dried over out the book. But it's not, it's the water. He always wet. Call him tomorrow, he got to preach up tomorrow. I see him have to preach funerals. And stuff will come up, and he's like, well, I don't know, we'll see the Lord. And the Lord gives him a word. And I ain't, every time I get to the funeral, I'm like, boy, I ain't never seen no funeral preach like this before. Where did you get this word from? I've been with him. I'll be with him. Like, he's going to fly out in a couple weeks. I'm going to be on the plane with him. I'm going to be with him. I'm with him for every message. All right? I'm with him for the past, listen, for at least the past 16 years. Straight. I'm with him for every message. I ain't never heard nothing lukewarm. He might go back to some of the same scriptures, but then it's something new, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know that was in there. He talked about that, about how we got to read carefully and read thoroughly, because we read over and over again, because somebody said, I read this 100 times. Y'all read that part in the book yet? I don't know, you got to read over the past for 100 times. You can read over 1,000 times and still don't get all the due time. He's scoring every game. But it's only because of that. Because of the time in the gym. And the time with that word. And so I say, we got a statement. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm referring to all this sports. I'm sorry. But they got the statement that we make. They say when somebody got a good jumper, they call them wet. Because they say, you know, swoosh. It's like, and some people say, they shoot so good, that boy shoot that goal, the goal like an ocean to him. He just shoot and say, boy, he wet. He just dropping all the shots. You'll stay wet. You'll never miss. If you stay in the water. If you stay in the river. That word. So now when I approach properly, and then I stay there, God can start using me in an extraordinary way. Now, I expect God, I said in my last class, and I'm saying to y'all, this is why I say I love this, I love this class, I love teaching class, I love teaching school, I love ministry school, I love ministry, I love, like even talking about ministry, like, I like this, I love it because, and I'm going to say something, and I'm going to say it about myself, but then I want to reflect on something bigger than me, but I'm excited, and I'm not tooting nobody's horn or none of that, but I'm really, I ain't trying to seem like, listen, I'm excited to see what God is going to do with each and every one of them. And I know, I'll read Ephesians 4, and it's talking about walk worthy of the vocation where you're called, and somebody gave gifts in the midst. I know you got a gift. I know my gift ain't the only one. I know you got a gift. I know each and every one of y'all got a gift. And for me, I'm excited to see what the gift is. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in you and in your life, and how he's going to use you, because I know it's from there. It's a beautiful gift. I'm excited to see what God is going to do with your gift and how he's going to make it flourish, because that's going to bless me. If you're doing it in the body, it's going to help me. I'm part of the body, too. You're part of the body, right? But it'll go with surprise, right? That means you're surprised. It'll affect your awakening. So there's a gift on the inside of you. I want to see that come out. I want to see that flow. I love this because we learn how to do this. We learn what ministry really looks like. and I cannot minister comes from the word administer, but I cannot pass nothing out that I don't already have. I can't hand you $100 if I ain't got it. So if I ain't got the word, I can just, if I got, it'll be something like the book talking about, I'm going to be telling you about something somebody else told me. How amazing can I be? How much faith can I walk in? It's something that somebody else told me, but I don't know for myself. You ever heard that before? How much of authority in the ministry can I do to somebody else if I don't got it on my own? The gifts on the inside, God's going to do some great things with us as ministers, but we've got to approach differently. We can't approach, my other class called Church Unusual. We can't approach like usual. We can't do, I'm getting what the Lord told me, he told me to dump the barrel. I'm getting it more and more every day. And I get what he's saying, he's the man that owns something to me. And I'm a young dude, like, I ain't really been in no tradition like saying, like, I haven't been talking about, but he still told me to dump it. So I'm trying to do a new thing for you. I'm trying to get you closer to me. So whatever you thought ministry was, huh? Whatever you thought it was, some of that stuff, some of it's cool, but some of it you got dumb. Some of the stuff you thought preaching was, it ain't. You know, we get to hollering and pulling people in and the Lord gonna do it. Hallelujah, huh? And I know all that because I have fun with it too, don't I? I get the rocky with everybody here, but listen. Your approach. Your approach determines your approach. So how you approach here and approach this word determines how you approach the kind of ministry. The Lord of God, it's preaching. The Lord of God, all your friends, everything. And they love you more than yourself. It's preaching. He's talking about how to minister. I can't pass without I ain't got, though. I'm going to say it again. I can't pass without I ain't got. I'm going to say it again. I can't pass nothing out. And I ain't got it. Now we get a chance to, like, break down with this man or not. In your personal time, you should do that. Like, breaking down. I thought I knew how to preach. I thought I knew how to minister the word of God. But nah. It's a different thing. That approaching that word like that gives you different confidence. Not a confidence in how many scriptures you know, but a confidence in the Holy Ghost. Every time I minister, I'm nervous. I walk through the door, I put my foot through the hallway. I'm nervous. I'm not going to be a different person. You're not going to see me doing that. But every time, I got some notes, but I don't know where we're going. I kind of got an idea. And I do my due diligence, and I study the word of God. But even if I put some notes down, I understand that this ain't my service. This ain't my prayer. Y'all need to hear me talk. What I'm going to say, the Holy Spirit, he got to say something to it. Every time, there's a nervousness there. But my confidence in the fact that I've been with him. My confidence ain't in nothing else but the fact that I've been with him. It ain't the fact that I, because how many scriptures you can quote doing a service and you forgot it? Well, see. It is confidence in how many you know in your mind, how much stuff has our mind forgotten before. You ever took a test and studied real long, and then the question came up and it was like, blank. I got some witnesses now. Oh, y'all talking about my test? Like, y'all, what are you talking about, huh? My confidence that I've been with him. That's it. I got confidence in nothing else. Paul said, I don't want glorify, I don't be glorified, nothing else. Jesus Christ will crucify, that's it. That's all, everything else is done. He said, it's done. He got time all along. I said, I've been with him. And I've been in that word, and I approached it because I loved him. I picked it up that morning, not because I thought I should, but I knew that I could. That's the difference. Only one thing. Not because I thought that I should, and in your mind, you're like, yeah, I should read the word, but that's cool. But the fact that I get to. And the fact that you love me enough to give me a word. God loved me enough to give me a Bible to study and show me how to live my life and show me how to be closer. Oh, my goodness. So because I can, I get up and I'm trying to do this as soon as I can. I'm trying to do this as soon as I can. You wake up in the morning and you're hungry. What's your favorite book? I guess it's two. Come on, think about it like that. Come on, y'all don't eat breakfast? That's real. Y'all real. What y'all talk to me? I'm talking to y'all right now. What? What? All right, what? So you get up in the morning and somebody's gonna cook all that breakfast for you. And you get the bed hungry. And you woke up hungry. Right? And you woke up hungry, I'm trying to get to you a stump your toe on the end of the bed. You gotta get to, I ain't trying to get to the bathroom, but I'm trying to get to. So I'm trying to get to as quick as I can because I can. Because you wasn't not cooking it for me. Right? But somebody been cooked in the presence and somebody prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Somebody prepared it already. Give us this day, it's already. So because I can, I know. You ain't get up and be like, I'm eating my stomach growling on the wall. Nope. You be up. You barely get your stomach up. The first half of the hour, you eating the first whip cup in your eye. You woke up with it on your mind. You woke up hungry. You better hungry and thirst. Better hungry and thirst. Better hungry and thirst shall be filled, huh? Better hungry and thirst. It's because I can't. It's because I can. Not because we're going to have to get over. We're going to get over the fact that it's a duty. God ain't no burden. His word ain't no burden. It's a gift. It is the burden off of your back. You get what I'm saying? Stop approaching him like that. I heard you were going to preach about them talents. About the talent. One gave five, another two, another. And then come back and that last joke and talk about I dug in the ground and buried it because I knew you was a hard man gathering with you in my song and doing all this stuff. Stop talking about the Lord like that. He ain't built like that. Not no hard. God is not no hard. God is not a taskmaster in heaven with a whip. You better study my word. I ain't going to tell you nothing. God's all by love. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Huh? Come on, he's not going to let them out. You will read this morning, I swear. He's not doing it. Now, tell the truth. Now, we talk about it in the truth right now. Can we talk about the truth? If we talk about it, we talked about God like that before, huh? All right? Now, some of y'all don't want to tell me the truth. We thought about it before. And one time or another, you're like, you thought, man, I got to do this work. I got to study this word. I got to prove to God. Huh? You ain't gonna do nothing for me, but I'm serious. You'll be doing something for you because he won't kill you. You'll be doing something for you because he's breathing, he's taking care of you, he saved you, you didn't fall off the back seat of your car, your wheel stayed connected to the tires, he blocked that thing when the people drove and swerved in that road, he protected you, and grace and mercy forgave you when you messed up. He's constantly doing something for you, right? So clearly, he ain't no taskmaster because all of us would be dead. So let's thank God for who he is. Let's approach him for who he is. Right, let's approach him for who he is. Let me tell you, let's approach him for, let's treat him like we love him. How you treat people that you love? How you do it?
So I don't really know what to do with people that I love. Well, that's why you need to go to the Word of God and find out how to love. And that's what we learn about.
Approach. Everybody say approach. Come on, say, what? Ask yourself, what's my approach? I'm not going to look at you. Can't look at each other. What's my approach? How have I been approaching my God? And that might be what I've been getting, or why I ain't been getting what I need to be getting. Because of my approach. I'm not talking about your ministry now. I'm not talking about what you think God called you to be. No, that matters if you ain't got the first thing first. You had to get saved first, right? God ain't called you before you got saved. You have to get saved first. First, you got to come first. That love got to come first. So my approach, I'm going to do that. My approach. How I've been approaching. How have you been approaching God? You're approaching like a child. That opened my eyes, but you a hard man. You fit. You get what you ain't, you work where you ain't work there. You get what you ain't. That ain't God. What the Bible says, God is love, right? God is love. So there ain't no past man up there beating you, trying to beat you toward the word. This guy got to beat you to do with slavery. I got to beat you toward the mean you don't really want to do it. Ain't no love is good there. I mean, if there's a whooping good. You get what I'm saying? So I got to approach God the proper way. And I get to know him. And I start realizing how to love him. And I start realizing how deep his love is for me. And then we get this love thing going, and then he starts to reveal his word. I'm not just looking at scripture no more, but he's revealing it to me. See, it gets to that point where the flow starts going, where you start seeing something. It gets to a point to where there's a flow to where we were talking about Dan and me and Roger talking about Dan. I said, you know, the reason that doing the things for God becomes hard to us. Scripture. All right. Maybe I'll scripture real quick. And we'll talk about it. Y'all know the story about Martha and Mary? Who don't know the story about Martha and Mary? Real quick. The story of Martha and Mary. Jesus comes to their house, right? And Martha up there. Working, keep everything together. Get together, cooking, get it all together, and Mary's sitting down. Yo, Mary, what you sitting down for? You know, Jesus over here. Y'all know how to do when y'all got guests coming to your house, right? I know when I was little, we got guests coming over. All we rushing out, we all cleaning up. We vacuuming and wiping the windows. We just don't know where we all there, right? We working. Because Jesus is coming here. He's working for the Lord. I've been working a long time. I've been working for the Lord, right? Then the Mary sitting at his feet. So I understand Martha coming in the room. Jesus, make her get up. You know how you tell your mom and them, make her get up and come help me. You don't see me over here working? Mary, I'm going to tell Jesus to you. You don't see me over here working? I'm going to tell Jesus. And she didn't get what she wanted, though. Jesus, make her come help me. She said, Martha, you're coming about much service. You're worried. You're all worked up. About I love you. He said, but Mary has chosen that good thing. And it can't be taken away from her. It is as simple. See, I'm trying to help you with your studying and your prayer time, right? And your meditation, right? Because it's prolonged meditation, right? You know, we said that in another class. Let me help you, but it's as simple as sitting at his feet. But if we approach that way, it won't be hard. Huh? And we approach looking at it. Because, you know, the things that we do, we make our studying and reading the Word of God and praying, sometimes we make that a task and it's difficult, but it's only a task and it's difficult because of how we're set up. See, we're carnal. We're trying to do something about in the book talking about people can't read no more because everything is visual. TV, text messages. But y'all hear some of these people text messages, but a lot of these young kids can't read and write no more. They'll take the mess after, but they can't. They look at the words and they take you out. You go on the social network, you go on Facebook. They can't spell because they ain't got to do it no more. There's TV and listening and stuff and this and that and that. And he's talking about how people can't read no more. What was I talking about before? Man, it's never feet. Just remember, we make things, I lost my thought. You make things so hard because we're carnal. So because we're carnal, we're on this side of the blessed side. So the things that are spiritual, that are easy to get my yoke up on the learning of, I'm easy. It's easy, right? It's easy to do, but because we're so carnal, if it becomes a task for you to check your carnality out, and it's fine for you, you got to make time to say the word, and your time is off. I gotta make time. You know somebody said I gotta make time for the Lord today? No, you gotta make no. All of it belongs to him. Make time to study. No, you don't make time to study. So it becomes hard because we're on the wrong side. So now we got to dismantle, break down, dump them back, get all that old way we thinking about it out, right? Right? Get all that old way we approaching God out. When we get that out, then the flow will be better. What you gonna do? Just do it. Do it. Start breaking yourself down. Give me a call tonight when you're going home to your house or when you make things pretty, just approach God differently. And say it out your mouth. God is approaching because I love you. If you don't tell me, know my description. I'm still going to be back here tomorrow. I'm still going to be here later on today. You know, we be praying, God, give me a word. No, he's going to give it to you already. That's what he's trying to do already. All he needs to know is that you love him and that you'll do what's right with it when you get it. So do it. Y'all try. Try. Why don't you get more revelation? Doesn't go wrong, I'm trying to go preach to nobody. Write it down immediately.